Welcome in to another edition of Golden Black Radio. I'm your host, Derek Schultz. Purdue reverted back to its season-long form, unfortunately, albeit against the team that is now number one in the country in the Oregon Ducks this past Saturday. But with football headed for their second bye, we're actually going to have a little bit more of a hoops focus on this Tuesday edition of the show and welcome on Brian Newbert to do so. But first, a thank you to our sponsors that make Golden Black Radio possible, including Purdue Federal Credit Union, a proud partner of Purdue Athletics and the official credit card for Purdue fans, Boiler Up, East End Grill and Ripple and Company, two distinctive bistros across the street from one another on the far end of Main Street, the perfect place for your next event, and the Whitaker Inn for unparalleled comfort and cuisine. Visit the Whitaker Inn. Joining me now is GoldenBlack.com analyst and columnist Brian Newbert from a location that is undisclosed as we speak right now. Couple of football things to get out of the way here, Brian, just because we have to. It's kind of a split season here. Oregon's not the best litmus test, right, for anybody. They're number one in the country for a reason. But I was kind of hoping to see some continued signs of life, at the very least, from the offense. And we largely did not get that on Saturday night. Even though I think the result was somewhat expected, did you still come away a little bit disappointed in Purdue's performance, particularly offensively?
Yeah, I just thought that the second half of Illinois only mattered if Purdue built on it. And building on it would have meant at least looking like you belonged on the field with Oregon. And you didn't. It was another one of those losses, Purdue's third, at least third of the season, where it was defined by kind of the hopelessness of it all. Notre Dame, Wisconsin, and now Oregon. Now, Oregon's number two in the country for a reason. They're very good, and you have to give them a lot of credit for coming all the way along across the country, coming off a really big win, and then just taking care of business. You know, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown to start the game, while success for Purdue seemed to be, hey, they got a first down, you know, to open the game. You know, stuff like that. It's just Purdue it's just the non-competitiveness of all of this that has been the most shocking part of the season to this point. And obviously the reason Purdue's in the situation it's in right now.
Yeah, and it's oftentimes hard to watch. Ryan Brown, that was the encore after the comeback against Illinois, and obviously was not a great comeback and an encore. Ryan Walters told our colleague Tom Dienhart earlier today that the quarterback split the reps with the ones in practice, and he was actually not only to both playing, but even open to both being on the same field at the same time. Purdue has some experience with this. I think their fans still have some PTSD with this, with the multiple quarterbacks thing, with some not so great results. My feeling, I feel very strongly one way about this, but I wanted to ask you, should he pick between Brown and Card, or are you open to this sharing situation? Should that be the ultimate decision moving forward?
I don't know if I've seen a sharing situation that's ever been successful. I'm sure there have been examples. I can go all the way back to Ohio State when they had Joe Germain and Stanley Jackson, but there were flaws there. And obviously Purdue is not Ohio State. You know, back when Michigan was playing Drew Henson over Tom Brady just to fulfill recruiting promises, you know, again, Purdue isn't Michigan, so those are just situations that come to mind. But I don't think I've ever seen a situation like that that's really been successful, especially at Purdue. So I would pick one. If it were me, I would pick Hudson Card, because I think your offense with Ryan Brown, while it's done some positive things here the last 2 weeks, it has been very one-dimensional. It's on tape now, and I don't think it gives you the sort of big play capabilities that you're going to need to actually – not only score at all, but score enough to beat some of these opponents that you're trying to beat when your defense can't stop anybody. So, you know, through a season and a half, Hudson Card has not worked out at Purdue. They have not figured out a way to build an infrastructure around him that's accentuated what he does well, which is throw the ball vertically. But you got to keep trying. There's no way out of this pit of misery Purdue football is in right now that doesn't involve the forward pass. And I think that Hudson Card gives you your best chance.
Can you take some of what you implemented with Brown? I understand they're different guys, and run some of that and implement some of that with Card?
I think you should have all along. Now, Hudson Card is not the runner Ryan Brown is. Hudson Card is not as willing a runner as Ryan Brown is. But a lot of the, east-west stuff, a lot of the misdirection they've put into the passing game and things like that for Ryan Brown is what they should have been doing for Hudson Card, because what that stuff does is it diverts attention from the defense, and it eases up someone's pass rush all the more. And the problem with Purdue's offense with Hudson Card has been you drop him back to throw the ball down the field, and he's got guys laying on him in 3 seconds because people are bringing pressure. Your offensive line, your protection's not doing a great job. I think he gets a little paralysis by analysis sometimes when he's under pressure, whether to run or throw it away or whatever. And if you just do some things schematically, screens, misdirection, east-west stuff, to try to ease up the pressure on him a little bit, I think that could be helpful. They never really did a whole lot of that with him. Why, I have no idea. But I also think he can run the football. I think if you give him a couple designed runs where there's not a lot of thinking involved, just fake the handoff and go. You know, something like that. Maybe that at least opens up something elsewhere later in the game. I think there's a balance you can strike between what you're doing with Ryan Brown and what Hudson Card does best. It's just a matter of finding that balance and whether or not anyone on Purdue staff is savvy enough with offense to figure that out.
That's 6 minutes, so that's probably good enough on football talk, right, with where we are at this point.
That's plenty.
So we'll move over to basketball here, but first wanted to thank a couple of more sponsors of Golden Black Radio, including Sand Valley Resort. Celebrate all that the wilderness provides this fall and winter at Sand Valley. Experience everything from Thanksgiving dinner, curling and ice hockey, to ice fishing and snowshoeing, and even the restorative benefits of a guided cold plunge in the frozen lakes. I know Brian had talked about doing that himself. Start planning your next winter getaway by visiting sandvalleypursuits.com. And new to the show, Purdue Institute for Cancer Research, which has a history of innovation and one goal for the future: defeat cancer. Purdue brings together world-class boilermaker scientists from across the university conducting cutting-edge research that uncovers new ways to prevent, diagnose, and treat cancer. With your support, cancer research saves lives. Join the fight and donate to Purdue Cancer Research Institution today. Brian, let's move over to basketball. Like I said, how did the scrimmage go? As always, we learned everything that we need to know about the 24-25 Boilermakers, right? Everything is solved.
We know nothing. No. I think we know enough based on the last two seasons that, you know, Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer are pretty good. Sure. I think it's a lock, basically, that I don't think there's a whole lot of unknown in Trey Kaufman Wren, even though, you know, the whole Zach Edey's gone thing is obviously a big storyline around this team. But I think Trey Kaufman Wren's as known and unknown as possibly can be. I think there aren't many guys in college basketball better positioned to have a breakout, like, who the hell is this guy kind of year nationally than Trey Kaufman Wren is, because he moves into what I call the best job in college basketball, being Purdue's go-to interior scorer. But also, he's pretty good. And I think people are going to see a guy who can score inside, score outside, score off the dribble, can score on jumpers, can score on the post, is really becoming a good passer, is going to be positioned to put up pretty decent rebounding numbers, and is going to be a guy who's one of the breakout players in all of college basketball. So between those three guys, that's a pretty good starting point. And now you got these freshmen coming in too on top of your sophomores, who should be better players in year two than they were in year one, but also have a lot of competition now too, because there's some of these freshmen are legitimately ready to help them. So Camden Heidi and Miles Colvin can't really take anything for granted here in terms of their natural ascension up the hierarchy from a minutes perspective, from a stature perspective, from a responsibility perspective. So I think Purdue's got a lot of good pieces here. And if you saw the scrimmage on Saturday, you saw those pieces.
Let's dive into that freshman class a bit, because Carm has an article up at goldenblack.com about exactly that. And it sounds like a few of them, at least a few of them, will be leaned upon early. Who do you expect to really hit the ground running and make contributions right away out of that group?
Jakari Harris, first of all, I think he's ready made now to be a good defender. Now, whether he can be the great defender, he'll be one day right away. That's a big ask for a freshman, but I think he can handle the ball. I think he can shoot. I think he's athletic. I think he's physically strong. He's physically ready. He's competitive. He asks questions. That is a valuable characteristic. He's a winner, and he can really guard. And I think Purdue is going to want ball handlers on the floor around Braden Smith often this season. And I think he kind of comes to mind first and foremost because the defensive versatility too adds another layer to that value. CJ Cox, same deal. Multi-positional guard, physically ready, competitive, smart, can really make shots. Now, whether or not you're putting him in a position to be a leading scorer type of guy, I think he can be that one day, but I don't know if that's his immediate role. But he'll have to log some ball handling minutes for you behind Braden Smith. Daniel Jacobson, obviously 7'4", size at the rim. Defensively, Purdue's got some questions, defending the rim, rebounding, things like that. He fits right into that. He's not ready physically to be the player he'll be one day, but there's no better way to get better than through experience. And, you know, Purdue's going to throw him out there, and he's going to develop on the fly, and you'll see a much better player at the end of the year, I'd imagine, than you do at the start of the season, and a really good player down the line. Excuse my co-host back here. And then, one of their best freshmen has been Riley Burgess. Now, whether or not you can find enough minutes for him to justify him playing this year, that's a pretty big question. And those are the business decisions that come with the whole redshirt debate. Jack Benner's in the same boat. I think both of those guys are going to be really good players at Purdue. I think both of them could play right away. It's just whether or not it's worth it, worth burning a quarter of their college careers for them to play, a handful of minutes a game. But they've still got a couple of practices here to go to make that decision. And it typically comes down to the 11th hour on that. So I talk about it all summer because people want to know about it, but we are putting the cart way ahead of the horse in that regard. But the first three guys are going to be major contributors for Purdue this season for sure.
It seems increasingly rare to see this, but this whole sort of system, for lack of a better term, that Purdue has here, where the young guys learn from the vets and then they become vets and then they bring along the young guys behind them and then they become vets and they bring the young guys. It's just one of those things that it feels like it's almost becoming a dinosaur in major college athletics because of the portal and the attrition and all the turnover. How big of an advantage is that for Purdue to have? And look, we're still very early, right? We're only year three, whatever it is, in NIL and portal and all of that. But how big of an advantage is it for Purdue, at least in the interim, to have maintained that sort of system and kind of keep that going under Matt Painter?
It's a huge advantage. The disadvantage is it leaves you sometimes playing with kids when everybody else is playing with men. Now, when the COVID year goes away, that's going to be a little bit less of an issue. But Purdue, you're still playing freshmen. And those freshmen are going to play against Illinois, and they're going to play against Indiana, and they're going to play against these teams that are all going out and getting the best juniors and seniors that their money can buy. And that can be a physical advantage sometimes for them. But for Purdue, the advantage lies in the continuity. It lies in the fact that Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer have played together for two full seasons now. It showed up last year in Braden Smith and Zach Edey having not had to develop a chemistry right away on the fly, like a shotgun wedding kind of thing. All of these guys on this team now, except for the freshmen, have played together. They know what Purdue's all about. They know what Painter's all about. They know how things work. And you don't spend June and August and July, and I got those out of order, didn't I? You don't spend those summer months basically introducing yourselves to one another, and you're kind of hitting the ground running in the summer. And what happens in the summer typically surfaces for the better in March or for the worse, but typically at Purdue, typically for the better. So I think it's a huge advantage for Purdue. It was a huge advantage last year. All those guys came back together. They all shared that experience of the year before, that awful, awful experience. And that's what propelled that whole team forward. And not every team can kind of fall back on that shared experience that Purdue did. The issue here is going to be one of these days, it's probably inevitable. Somebody you don't expect to lose is going to transfer. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to go pro. You didn't expect to go pro sooner than you expected them to go pro. or somebody's just going to be bad. Somebody you thought was going to be good is just bad. And then you end up in a situation where you probably have to go to the portal, and then you end up bringing in that one-year guy, and then that one-year guy leaves after a year, and then you start getting in that cycle where you got to replace that guy over and over again. And then once it might happen with another guy, and now you're doing it with two guys, and then you're doing it with three guys. And it's just something that's going to be inevitable for a lot of people. But Purdue is going to ride this out as long as it can. It's going to keep trying to do it this way. And I think ultimately it's going to have to confront the portal issue. But they can cross that bridge when they come to it. Right now, continuity is Purdue's strength, and it's defining characteristic and a huge advantage.
Technically speaking, they've got their first kind of unofficial game coming up here Saturday, this scrimmage against Creighton, which very easily could have been the Elite Eight matchup, right? I think they led that game against Tennessee at halftime in the Sweet 16, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, before they ultimately lost to Dalton Connect and the Vols. So basketball season is officially here. And at goldenblack.com, if you sign up to be a subscriber, you get to read Brian Neubert and all the great content at Golden Black all season long, and get to participate in Knucklehead Central, which I know is just a thrill for everybody that's involved over there on the message boards. Brian, we appreciate it. We'll let you get back to it and talk to you again here coming up next week.
Hey, I just ate at Bagel Fair. I thought you'd be excited to hear that.
Ah, the best.
There you go.
I lived in Indy for like 15 years before I knew about Bagel Fair, and I feel like I just wasted a decade and a half of my life without Bagel Fair. It is the absolute best, and they just got a makeover over there.
Yeah.
That new store and new
facility. Pretty classy, yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Viewers, that was genuine joy you just witnessed.
Nothing gives me joy like a Bagel Fair bagel.
No doubt. No
Thanks
doubt.
So much, Brian.
No problem, Derek. Thanks for having me.
That's Brian Neubert, goldenblack.com analyst and columnist. And that's our show for this Tuesday. I want to give a final thank you to our sponsors, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the official credit card for Purdue fans, East End Grill and Ripple and Company, two distinctive bistros across the street from one another on the far end of Main Street in Lafayette. The Whitaker Inn, the Midwestern oasis, perfect for a relaxing staycation or a weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn. Sand Valley Resort. Celebrate all that the wilderness provides this fall and winter at Sand Valley. Start planning your next winter getaway by visiting sandvalleypursuits.com. And the Purdue Institute for Cancer Research. The Purdue Institute for Cancer Research has a history of innovation and one goal for the future: defeat cancer. Join the fight and donate to Purdue Institute for Cancer Research today. No Friday show this week, as of course Purdue football is on a bye. So we'll next return to you with Golden Black Radio coming up here on Tuesday. But until then, keep enjoying that goldenblack.com content that everybody is churning out. And if you're not a subscriber, what are you doing? Go over to goldenblack.com and sign up for a subscription right now for all of the best Purdue athletics content that there is on the planet. Until next week, we'll see you next time. Thanks so much for listening to Golden Black Radio.